Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives, sharing their expertise and life stories, making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. If you identify as an empath, you probably also know there are times when it feels too much, that you've over-absorbed the energy of other people and environments, and you simply want to lock your doors, close your blinds, and retreat from the world. Wendy DeRosa is my guest, and she says empaths are not the victims of their state. There are solutions, and that's what her new book is all about. Today we look at why empaths absorb energy and how that can end up leaving us feeling depleted. Wendy shares what she means by inherited energy and how that can shape or block us. We look at trauma, fear, and lack and how that impacts our body. Most importantly, what to do about it. And how removing the blindfolds can lead to spiritual growth. So let me tell you about my guest. Wendy DeRosa is an international intuitive energy healer, speaker, teacher, and author. For the past two decades, she's offered education and training programs for spiritual and personal growth to thousands of people wanting to develop their intuition and experience personal transformation. She's the founder of the School of Intuitive Studies and the Intuitive Healer Training Program and Certification. So let's bring on my guest, Wendy DeRosa. Her book, Becoming an Empowered Empath, How to Clear Energy, Set Boundaries, and Embody Your Intuition. Wendy DeRosa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Vicki.
It is my pleasure, and we're going to talk today about your wonderful new book, but you wear many hats, as many of us do these days. You describe yourself as an intuitive healer, especially a healer with a mission to help others access and develop their own intuition, and you largely do that through your school, the School of Intuitive Studies. I'm wondering where your passion comes from and why does this mission drive you so, Wendy?
That's a great question. Well, I don't know that it was a passion initially. It actually was this oversensitivity that I experienced throughout my life and understanding that it was actually a gift that needed to be seen, my power, you know, my gift of intuition, that I needed to turn to it. And so initially it was just me trying to understand what was going on with myself. And then as I started to realize I'm intuitive, I can help people heal in their bodies, I can, you know, guide them, support them, and help them develop their intuition. And then more and more people were starting to have incredible experiences and transformations. And then that's when I started to realize, wow, I'm really deeply called to this work and helping people understand the gift of intuition and sensitivity and energy healing and empathic work and all of it.
Right. And so I want to dive into the book, but before we do that, I want to look at a couple of definitions because people do define these very slightly differently. So since we're talking about your book, I want to make sure we're using your definitions here. So define what you mean by an empath. I love on one of your videos how you describe it as being able to feel the subtle.
Yes. So that is, the empath has the ability to feel energy on the subtle level through their felt sense. It's their clairsentient sense. So they can feel emotions. They can feel the vibe that comes off of a person. They can feel the collective. They can feel the energy in the room. So it's through their felt sense.
Right. And when we absorb too much of that energy, that may show up as us feeling tired, you write, run down, overwhelmed, overly emotional, congested, migraines, overall depletion.
Mm-hmm. And so, yes, but, all of those.
Yes, all of those and the above, right? Yeah. And more. But one of the things I really liked about your work, Wendy, is that you write empaths are not victims, because, you know, I know people, and you probably run into them too. I know a couple of people who when they're feeling, you know, in a situation where this is kicking in for them, they just retreat immediately and they say they have no solution. But your book is all about solutions. You know, it's important, I think, to stress that, that we have some great solutions here throughout this conversation. So let's look at the book. It helps us not just understand why we absorb the energy of others, it helps us understand the energy we hold in our energetic body. And I think your connection to early life wounds is really interesting. I want to touch on that too at some point. Haven't seen much written about that. But what do you think makes your book unique from the dozens others out on the shelves about this very topic?
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest pieces, the feedback I get is the connection to the chakra system and how the empathic experience and whether people feel overly empathic, meaning they absorb energy, or whether they simply feel energy, it's very much related to what's going on in the first three chakras of their body. And so much of the book is about this and how we heal the energy we hold in that area of the body, and how when we do, we transform our empathic experience from feeling victimized in the world by energy into empowerment.
Right. And you talk about the lower three chakras being the primary power centers for attachment, grounding, and relationships. You say when they are radiating power, you know, we're unstoppable, basically. But when they're blocked, it can lead to all sorts of problems, you know, whether they're too open or leaking. That can be detrimental to empaths. So talk to us a little about that, if you would.
Yeah, so the first three power centers of the body, so we're talking about the root chakra at the tailbone, which is our power of trust and safety and grounding in our body, in the sense of belonging in our body and on this earth. The second chakra in the pelvis is actually our empathic power center. It feels the subtle. It relates to our emotions, our sensitivity, our creativity, our passion, and our feminine power, no matter the gender. And then our solar plexus the third chakra is in the solar plexus region, and that is our identity power center. It's our ability to manifest our true self into the world. And it navigates the world instinctually, kind of our second brain, gut brain. But what happens here for empaths is that we carry a lot of early childhood conditioning. I would call it sometimes our hardwiring. It's the energy patterns that we were raised in very, very early on. So if we're, you know, root chakra specifically, we're talking about 0 to 7 years old. So that means everything that we have marinated in our early system, our family system, or the world as a system, in those ages. And we take that information, verbally or non-verbally, into our sentient experience, our body or nervous system, and we decide on an unconscious level whether or not we're going to be safe in our body or whether or not we feel fear. And so if we're raised in environments where what we're getting on a subtle level in the family system is children are meant to be seen, not heard, it's not okay for you to express yourself, you know, your true inherent way of being is not okay. If we start to get that messaging very early on, then we develop in the root chakra area of the body, we develop a contraction. Mm. So literally the root chakra starts to close down, and we close down to ourselves, to our sense of safety and feeling okay in who we are. And then as a result, the empathic power center, the second chakra, blows open. and it starts to feel everything that's going on around us on a subtle level, so that we know how to behave, we know how to adjust our, you know, our actions, our habits, our behaviors in order to make sure we're safe. So essentially, we go into hypervigilance at that point. So this profile in the body is the contracted root chakra and the second chakra opening up to seek safety and to feel what's going on with everybody else becomes the default pattern that we recreate over and over again in life.
Right. Interesting. Because, I mean, like many people, I've heard of scripts that we grow up with, you know, we think they're more kind of brain related. I've never really related them to energy and how we deal and absorb with energy before. So that's really interesting. One of the things you write about, which I'd like to make sure we get out here today, is empowerment comes from identifying the energy you have stored in your body and taking responsibility for your light. So would you talk to us a little bit about that and what you mean about identifying the energy specifically and then taking responsibility for your light?
Well, I think sometimes there's this feeling of there's all this negative energy out there, and I need to get all of this negative energy out of my body or out of other people's energy out. And that may be actually true in some cases, but a lot of times people's empathic experience is that our own stuff is getting touched, meaning someone's having an emotion and it's triggering my uncomfortability with somebody having an emotion. And what that does is it points to our own sort of parts, unhealed parts that we need to work with. And that's what we need to take responsibility for inside ourselves is our own personal healing. But the other part of that is that we can certainly, when we talk about taking responsibility for your light, it's also that in many ways, again, I go into this in the book also, we have a front body and we have a back body in our energetic system. Front body is kind of our default. It's how we engage in the world. It's our ego consciousness. It's showing up, and our front body does a lot of work in the world. It also gets very congested energetically.
Right.
Our back body is our connection to our soul and the light that flows through us. It's our introverted nature to go to, and it's self-love to receive from the divine through, you know, a shower of grace into our back body. For us as empaths, part of it is that I'm willing to lean back into my light, into the light of the shower of grace, into the light of my soul, and connect to that part of myself, because that's the part of me. If I were to really allow that radiance inside my body, that's the part that supports energetic boundaries in the world. It's about honoring and expanding the light presence in our being. And we do that through this back body connection.
Right. A couple of points there I just want to go over again, because I think it's very hard for most people to accept that a lot of the negativity is within them. You know, I've said myself, it's too negative out there. I'm closing my blinds. I'm shutting my door. You know, we all tend to think it's out there. And then the other thing is it's often difficult to recognize our own light and, you know, be the beacon that others maybe see us as. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, empaths in particular have a very innate nurturing quality to them. You know, and if we were to own it and just know that part of us, like I know that I come into a room and people feel safe with me. When we don't, you know, when we own it and know it and can own that light presence, we don't take it so personally when people are gravitating to us with their stuff. It's more like, I'm aware that this person, you know, sees me as someone who is strong, and so I'm going to ground myself in this moment. And when we ground ourselves in our power and in our light and our radiance, we actually don't take on their energy. Instead, we inspire them energetically to be in their light. We mirror to them.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk a little bit about grounding then and how we can quickly ground ourselves. You know, I know through yoga practice, you know, several techniques there where we talk about grounding. But for the sake of this, if you're becoming aware that, hey, yes, I am an empath, and yes, I am taking on too much of other people's energy, where do we begin to start with grounding ourselves?
So first of all, I love the image of the grounding cord, which is, it has been depicted in some places as a skinny cord from the tailbone to the earth, but I'd like to widen the image so that it's more of a tree trunk. Some people might feel it as a beam of light, but it secures around the sides of the hips, the low belly, and low spine, and it extends down through the earth like a pillar, like a tree trunk that goes deep into the earth, and it sprouts roots around the core of the earth. And, you know, grounding inherently in the body comes from making contact with earth energy, typically through the soles of our feet. So walking out there in the world and being in nature is very grounding. But sometimes when we live in urban environments or we can't always, you know, get that access, this image of the grounding cord is very, very powerful to meditate with, to feel into, to visualize, and it helps us sort of come down in our bodies.
Yeah,
and connect to those lower power centers.
Yes, I'm actually visualizing that as you're talking about it, and I can feel it. So, You say that empaths, once they learn to trust their gut instincts, they tend to make effective, trustworthy leaders. How so?
Well, you know, in many ways, there's a paradigm that's shifting around human connection, around leadership, around heart. And part of that is that this sort of, I'm going to call it more like a patriarchal awareness of non-transparency and productivity and not really having empathy for humanity. And it's changing in that empaths who favor, you know, in the connection, heart connection, or they favor vulnerability, being honest and real with how you feel, and valuing, you know, the teams and, you know, community and connection in this earth. These are qualities that are very much more of a feminine aspect of leadership. And again, it's not gender. It comes out of creativity and the desire to be in alignment with ourselves. And this is an inherent power that empaths have. It's their leadership quality. It's to lead from that place.
It's very interesting because I've covered several business segments. Well, I do quite a few, but I've covered several where companies like Google, my guest has been invited out to companies like Google, for example, and others like them. And they have, their background is as a monk in a Zen monastery, or, you know, as a Buddhist out in you know, India, Tibet. And these companies are, as you said, kind of embracing this and bringing it in, looking at alternative ways of being.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I came in, you know, about 26 years, I've been an intuitive healer. And I mean, there are people who have been intuitive healers much longer than I have. But back then, you didn't say the word intuition.
Right.
And not be looked at. And now, top Forbes, top 100 companies, some of the CEOs talk about intuition being what has helped them in their success or make the best business decisions.
Right.
The company.
Right. And you talk about, you know, as a culture, if we don't recognize our intuition, I mean, we can end up pretty fragmented as a collective group of beings. So it's very important that we open up to this.
Yes, absolutely. It is an inherent aspect of our being. Human beings are intuitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk about trauma because goodness knows we've had enough of it over the last few years on different levels, right? And especially the last 12, 14 months. You know, I think it's fair to say almost everybody has experienced some kind of level of trauma over the past year. So you say trauma makes up a significant amount of stored energy in the body. Talk to us about what that means, what it looks like, what it feels like.
So, and again, talking about the lower chakras in particular, they relate to the history that we hold in our bodies intergenerationally, coming through the family line, and also in our present day experiences or experiences of this lifetime that might be traumatic. Trauma can store at the root chakra area of the body and also in the second chakra area of our body. And again, I go particularly around, I keep coming to this theme here of the feminine, but part of what was going on in the past 12 to 14 months is that so much of our human rights issues surfaced. Mm-hmm. Everything from racism to gender to climate change to healthcare to what is truth to politics. I mean, everything got touched and unearthed. And that's all, it wasn't new. It was very deeply suppressed in many ways, and maybe it wasn't very deeply, but certainly suppressed, and it all unearthed for us. And as it did, it began to touch people's individual and personal experiences and traumas around, you know, all aspects of humanity. A lot of that energy is held in the first three chakras of our body, and we can't necessarily go in there through frontal cortex, you know, cognition through the front of the brain. We have to go in through meditation and guided meditation and introspection to start to identify, you know, what did I live with growing up and what did I stuff down that I just was not ready to deal with at the time. And it's just lingered there, and I keep seeing it pop up in all these different patterns, or it shows up, you know, emotionally in some way. It's a good indication that there might be healing needed, you know, in unresolved pieces in these lower power centers.
Right. It's really interesting because I'm thinking of a few people I know who've said that the past 12 months or so, well, even earlier than that, childhood triggers have come up. Childhood memories that even that they'd forgotten had come up.
Really
interesting. Well, let me ask you about fear and lack, first of all, because I think they kind of, they're not the same, but they come under the same umbrella. You may disagree with that, but you'll tell us. So there's been a massive focus, again, on all the messaging we hear. It's all fear-based. It's all lack-based. You know, and you say fear is a subconscious emotion. Fear itself is not the problem in its healthy form, because it keeps us safe. It becomes a problem, you write, when no repair or comfort is provided or when it escalates to terror. So how does that fit into this? What's happening to us? And, you know, it's buried down there in the lower chakras again, right?
Yeah, and they are definitely related. They actually operate in the same power center, which is the root chakra. And I sometimes sound like a broken record when I'm talking about the root chakra, because it like you were saying earlier, we think about the brain, but the root chakra area of the body governs a great deal of our nervous system responses. A lot of what we hold down there as fear or lack of something we didn't get at a young age influences our nervous system responses like fight, flight, or freeze. And so what will happen is that the root chakra area of our body, 0 to 7 years old, a lot of our primary sort of programming and belief systems that we're developing and absorbing into our construct, subconsciously, mm-hmm. that a lot of that forms in that area, and it comes from what we marinated in. It comes from what the family system believed. And so sometimes those beliefs are fear-based. You know, don't trust anybody. Beliefs like, this is too expensive, you're not allowed to have it.
Yes.
Turns into poverty consciousness and lack. I'm not okay. The lack type of beliefs are things like, I'm not okay, there's never enough, therefore I am not enough. There won't be enough. There's even lack can turn into hoarding. It can turn into compulsions, you know, different ways that it'll manifest in the body. But both fear and lack actually in their shadow elements of the root, they are shadow elements of the root chakra, as opposed to safety and abundance and trust, which are the powers of the root chakra.
You know, I'm not a woo-woo person. I say this many times on the show, but I've learned so much, you know, doing radio over the last almost two decades now. But and one of the things was, you know, I learned early on about this lack or abundance, fear or love. And I just know from my own life, when I look at a situation, if I'm coming from a place of fear or lack, scarcity, or coming from a place of love and abundance, and there's plenty for everyone, the difference that it makes in the way I perceive it and the actions that I take thereafter. So I think it's so, so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say this too, because I know I jump into chakra conversation because it's so my language and it's not always everyone's language, but I just wanted to name that, you know, we don't learn about the energetic anatomy in school, but
yeah.
The energetic anatomy underlies the nervous system. It's deeper than the nervous system. So sometimes when we're processing, you know, mental constructs, nervous system responses in the body, what's actually influencing our sort of reactions and nervous system responses comes from what's imprinted in our energetic body.
Mm, it's really fascinating. So one of the things you say in the chapter on fear and lack is remove the blindfolds. And, you know, one might think that since we've been talking about, you know, empaths live in their lower three chakras, that we might need to just move up those chakras out the top of our head to give a, you know, a cartoon kind of image there. But you say spiritual growth is not about moving your conscious awareness higher up and out of your body. It's about going deeper into the soul's essence in the center of your being. Please talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have this beautiful central channel in our body that in its depth, it is the consciousness of our soul in communion with the divine, and it is a universe in there, and we can meditate on it and go in and swim in that sea of wisdom and consciousness inside our body. But what has been a little bit more sort of maybe more rehearsed or norm in the spiritual world is that we go higher in the upper chakras, but it doesn't, disconnecting from the lower power centers doesn't allow us to embody our soul's truth in this world. So what I love to support people with is that our spiritual growth is actually about going deeper into the central channel of the body and learning how to heal the humanity, you know, the lower chakra humanity, so that we are embodying more deeply lower in our body, and therefore we are leaving our legacy, our purpose, our mission, our footprint here on this earth.
You share a lot of resources in the book, practices, exercises. What is a way that we could go deeper in?
Yeah, so the chapters, each chapter, almost all of them, come with a guided meditation, just because I believe there's the cognitive understanding and then there's the deeper experience. And so each chapter is designed to take people through the deeper experience. I certainly offer in my own, I run the School of Intuitive Studies and my own website, wendyderosa.com. And, you know, I offer programs and events and things that do support people in their deeper healing and intuitive development and spiritual growth. And I offer a monthly healing every month through my Divine Healing Inner Circle.
Mm. And you wrote this book in the middle of a pandemic when a lot of projects got abandoned or at least postponed because of changes in living, working, schooling environments. What kept you going, Wendy? What strengths, tools, skills did you draw on to stay motivated and complete this?
You know, it's interesting. I have another book that I wrote when I was 9.5 months pregnant. I seem to have like major going on, and I have to birth a book apparently. But I think what really kept me going was the awareness that people needed it. Like just that people were feeling victimized by their experience, and in my heart I knew that this is not for people to be taken down by feeling like being an empath is a curse, but in fact that they have power inside them and their intuitive ability and power that needs to be seen and heard and felt and connected with so that they can really show up and be who they're here to be. And we are collectively together shifting consciousness on the planet, no matter how long it takes.
I love it. And obviously, you're pretty in tune with yourself and your sense of self, but what did writing this book teach you? What did you learn about yourself?
That I need to sometimes take my own medicine. But I need to do my own grounding practices every day and practice what I preach.
Well, that's why it's called practice, right? It's called practice
exactly.
For a reason. Well, Wendy DeRosa, I love your energy. It's been great talking with you. I love your book. It's different to any other book I've read on this subject before, and we have covered this a few times on the show before. The book is called Becoming an Empowered Empath, How to Clear Energy, Set Boundaries, and Embody Your Intuition. And I know a lot more. I understand a lot more about chakras now than I did before. So thank you, Wendy.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much, Vicky.
And I know listeners can find out more about you at your website, which is schoolofintuitivestudies.com and wendyderosa.com. So Wendy, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we will be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong. You can find us at conversationslive.net.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicky's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.